right, you want to quit?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Morning, Warren County Board of Supervisors, July 27th, 2021. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
I have none.
We have an agenda. Meet with department heads and elected officials. Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor.
Good morning. We're just staying busy and gearing up for elections, so sending some girls, three girls to election training the first week in August and just continuing.
Got all the slots filled?
No, won't know because the candidate filing for the city of Burlington actually starts, I think it's August the 3rd? August the 2nd, 9th, I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't remember. There's too many different ones, so. But yeah, next month is when the candidate filing starts for the city of Burlington candidates, so.
Thank you, Terry. Kevin Glenn Denny, Des Moines County Sheriff.
Good morning. Things are going well at the sheriff's office. We have, our jail population's at 75. Just a couple events in the community would be the Des Moines County Fair. If you have time, stop out there and see all the projects that our 4-H youth have worked on. And then next week is National Night Out. So Lisa's office in Burlington and the sheriff's office put together an event. There's gonna be a lot of area law enforcement personnel. Med Force, National Guard, the K-9 units will be down there. Those are always the crowd favorites, so come out and see us Tuesday, next Tuesday night, 6 to 9. We'll be down at the riverfront, and there's going to be free food and raffles and prizes, and hopefully we have a good turnout. We're excited for it.
Sweet.
It doesn't bother you. The tank's more important than you guys, does it?
He steals the ship. Yeah, it's great, but he's got that, the personality of him is just, he does great with it, so.
Good.
It's worked out well.
Thank you, Sheriff. Ryan Carter, Des Moines County. Secondary Road, Des Moines County Engineer. I forgot
that long ago.
He'll remind you.
Should have been gone another week, huh?
No.
Good morning. Good to be back. A lot of stuff on the plate, in a lot of different directions. But we'll hit the high points. Highway 99 is still making progress. Maybe been a little frustrated. Last week was a really nice dry week. Contractor did get some work done. I would have liked to see more, but they also did work clear through the weekend and did get a lot done this weekend. So that kind of makes up for that. As far as I know, they're still working. So it's a lot of, when you get to this phase in the project, it's a lot of small stuff that if you just drive through, you wonder what in the world they're doing, but it's stuff that needs to be done before the road's open. So they are making headway. We knew as soon as we dried out that nobody would, you know, it's frustrating that it's still closed, I guess. And I understand people are sick of driving around, and I can't blame them for that one bit. We're ready for it to be open, too. But there's still some riprap to be placed that couldn't be done until the bridge was done, until the final shaping was in there, and there's still some black dirt to get put in. And so they are working on that and have made a lot of headway, actually. I was up there just yesterday for the first time, obviously, in a week, and especially the north end is really, I won't say it's complete, but it's darn close. Once they get that button, they'll move to the south end. There's a little more riprap down there to be done. And obviously after that, we'll get guardrail put in and get some seating done and stuff like that. So, looks great. I look forward to the public getting on it. Look forward to it being open and it being in the past. That's good for any project, to be honest with you. And this one in particular, it's pretty high profile, obviously. So, so as for that though, however, I'm still non-committal to a specific date. If there's a lesson to be learned, I learned that one. So it will be in August. I still believe it will be in August. But I'm not willing to tell people a date. I don't have that at this point. So.
You already told me to start telling all my friends the first week of August. So.
I think I told you the 4th of July, didn't I? You should keep using that.
Next year.
You're going to be in trouble, PC.
Flint Bottom, another active road that we have closed. Contractors making good headway on that. It's all just pavement removal and some rocking and some shaping and some drainage and stuff like that right now. It'll probably be that way for a while. You know, that's what that project is. And so I think we've had some good comments about the first section that is open now. Certainly could have made it worse, so it's definitely better. And that next section will also be that way. So it's nice to see that kind of progress and see the roads that really need to get improved. So that's coming on. I've been talking about it for what a month now, but I do see that they moved Highway 61 over. The traffic is now running on the new lanes, I guess is what I call it. It's not four lane, it's still two lane traffic. But so if you run up through there, it's very different. Make sure you're comfortable with it before you set the cruise and rip through there. But it is part of what's going to be changing scenery for a while. I know that the DOT just bid the grading phase. I think it included bridges also off the top of my head for around Mediapolis. But I also know that from what I understand, they only had one bidder and the prices came in high. And that kind of fit everything we've talked about. I mean, if you start looking at the cost of anything, materials-wise, fuel-wise, labor, everything's up. And you're going to see that in construction. There's just no way to avoid that. So I think the DOT, anytime you get a bid that comes in higher than your estimate and you only have one bid, I think they're doing some evaluation to make sure they're comfortable with all of that. So I don't think they have anything signed at this point, but it just happened. The bid was just here in the middle, probably last week if I had to guess, on Tuesday. So you wouldn't expect anything to be signed yet at this point anyway. But they did do bids and they did get one bidder, and it like I said, as I understand it, it came in a little bit high.
Who was the bidder?
From what I was told, because I haven't seen the documents, it was PCI, who is the current subcontractor on the phase that's going on right now.
Rhinebeck.
Yeah.
So they're, I mean, that's as big a grading contractor as you're going to get. So I think, I suspect in the end, the DOT will probably sign and accept the fact that this is kind of the start of a trend, possibly, of prices going up. But just so you know, that they did get bid. And when I hear more about it, I'll let you guys know.
PCI has been around a long time. They're the ones that added that 3 foot on the side of Highway 61 back in the late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah, PCI's.
Yeah.
Yeah, been a big player in that dirt work business for a long, long time, absolutely.
Does Lower Flint, do you think that'll be done by harvest time?
Flint Bottom?
Or Flint Bottom, I mean.
It could get into the early part of harvest, but I do believe at some point it'll open for harvest. I don't know. There is a possibility we'll clip the front end of harvest. They've made very good progress, wet or dry, I have to say, which you can on that type of a project, for the record. I mean, that's the kind of project that if you do things right, even when it's, I mean, obviously when it's raining, you're not going to work. I don't know if we'll catch the very front end of harvest, but harvest may be later than normal this year anyway. There's a lot of corn and beans that went in all the way out into June. So I don't know that we're going to have that shut down through the entire portion of harvest, but we might catch that front end. It's possible. There's still access. The nice thing is there's still access to the ethanol plant. The guys like to cut across there, but they can go up and use the four lane. I've seen some guys going up gear with trucks and going up and across the tracks there by the old Raiders and stuff. So there is still access, and that is the good part about that. It's just not the number one preference isn't there at the moment. But they will appreciate the better ride, I can tell you that. So that's moving. We had a pre-construction meeting for the Geode project. Just to remind you, the hill on the other side of Geode is in Des Moines County. There's not very much of it, but it is in Des Moines County, so that will get replaced this summer. And if you've been out there, you know that it's needed for a long time. In fact, we did a patching project on it, before two rag rides ago or something like that. I couldn't even tell you how long it's been, just to try to stabilize it a little bit. But so that's going to start August 16th is our anticipation. That is the late start date also. So that'll have that closed for probably, I'd say probably pushing a month and a half is probably roughly what that'll be. And that's been planned. We bid that back during the winter time. I still don't have any word on Pleasant Grove, Shane, so we haven't heard from that contractor. So when I know more, I'll let you guys know about that.
What made you think I was even going to bring that up?
I don't, just guessing. So,
I appreciate that, though.
Yeah.
Thank you, my friend.
So, and we're going to reach out to that contractor sometime, probably this week or early next, just to see what they're thinking. That is being done. So the GEO project is being done by Jones, which is a semi-local contractor for paving. The low bidder on the Pleasant Grove project is Flynn, who is the big paving contractor on the 61 project. And they're waiting now on PCI to get some work done. They actually pulled their plant out. If you guys pay any attention, the plant that was up there by FI, they pulled it out and moved it somewhere else at this moment. So I would say until you see that going, you know that there won't be any concrete on Pleasant Grove, I had to guess. But
How long of a project is it, Pleasant Grove?
Pleasant Grove is probably going to be approaching 2 months.
Okay.
We have to do it in multiple phases because we need to keep access to the quarry.
Right.
Which isn't that complicated in all honesty. It's just, it does add some to it. So, but in all, it'll probably be a couple months. Some of that may be done under traffic. There may be some work done under traffic. We looked at that and went with kind of a couple different phases of working days to try to minimize the amount of full closure days.
Right.
But full closure will probably be, I would guess, a month and a half.
Okay.
But work could take upwards of a couple months. So that will undoubtedly catch harvest, if I had to guess. But we try to avoid that, but it's not always possible. And I don't think anybody's going to complain about that hill getting taken care of. So so that's a lot of stuff going on as far as just more smaller scale maintenance on our guys. We are ditching on Irish Ridge. We did that all last summer, so it's not new to anybody out there. So if you guys have some calls or comments, feel free to pass them on. But we are ditching on Irish Ridge again, finally dry enough, finally have the bodies, so that's nice to be back doing that. And then working on culvert projects. It is on here, but we are back to full manpower. We did get a new motor grader operator hired. Happy to have him. He started yesterday. So that's good. He'll obviously be getting up to speed and knowing his district and stuff like that, but it's nice to have that body. That's 70 miles of road for us. That's a lot of roadway to make up with missing a body. So it's good to have.
Was it Johnson County that they came up with some, they made a hopper for ditching that's supposed to be?
It was Jones, I think.
Jones.
But we still got a, or for shouldering, not for ditching.
Okay.
For shouldering, and we have not had an opportunity to go up and take a look at that yet. I mean, I was gone last week anyway, but that is on our radar. It may be your right, it's John. Maybe it's Johnson. I have to look at
it. I can't remember. I just know that. I was like, man, if we looked into that, it's supposed to be talking all this man about how good it is.
Yeah, we're still gotta get up there and look at it, and we're gonna try to manufacture that in house. So, otherwise, you guys have any questions?
How much we miss you.
Yeah.
Let's take lunch break, boys. Come back and finish your.
Makes you feel better having an agenda item. I'm going to talk more in a little bit.
You know, the meeting didn't last very long last week. You're not here, Brian.
You know, Jim, I was listening to a lot of it. I heard some early comments. Thank you, Ryan.
Chris Lee, Conservation.
Good morning. So kind of piggybacking on some of the stuff that Brian said, Lake Geode, even though it's not my park, it is fully open. So the beach is open and the rest of the campground is open. So I don't know if a lot of people know that. I just heard it through the grapevine and had to go out there and check it out and see it myself, and sure enough it is. So which is a good thing because the beach at Big Hollow is kind of a mess. With it being so incredibly hot and calm the way it's been, the algae in Big Hollow Lake, as we know is a problem, just grows prolifically, and it's kind of a disaster. We've got a lot of complaints over about it this weekend. It's just so hot, people want to go down to the beach, but then they find out it's completely covered in green. And unfortunately, there's not a lot we can do about that. At this juncture, nobody has invented a device to get that stuff out of the lake. We've got to fix it in the watershed, which, as you know, we've been working on. I'm going to continue to do so. In fact, we have engineers coming out this week, I think on Thursday. We're going to be out on the lake trying to take some sediment samples, which is some more data that they're collecting for this watershed project that they're doing. And so we'll be out there doing that. But until we get some breeze or some rain or something to churn that water, you know, I mean, you sit a, you know, a container of water outside and in this kind of heat, it doesn't take very long, even clean water, to start growing stuff inside it. Now you take and you add, you know, tons and tons of phosphorus into the lake, like what we have, and you grow some stuff pretty good. It helps the fish. The fish are biting unbelievably well. People are catching bluegill and bass right and left, apparently, and big ones. And so I guess there's that silver lining, but you almost have to be in a boat to do it because that shoreline is just so choked out with
Doesn't sunshine help with that?
Yeah, it grows it really
fast. Oh, it grows it, doesn't it?
Yeah. So yeah, the sunshine will help grow it. What we need, and that's kind of the disadvantage we have with it being literally a big hollow, is that we don't catch the wind. And so we don't move that water so that it just sits stagnant and it just proliferates. In fact, the floating stuff, the duckweed that grows on the surface of the lake, that is an actual case study in exponential growth. And I remember in college, we did that. We had to count all the little tiny fronds that grow from that to actually chart exponential growth. And it take about, in a lake like that, they say it'll take about 22 hours for it to just cover the surface without some sort of disturbance. So that's what we're up against. So, you know, it's not a great thing. It's not, there's no real health problems to it. I mean, you can swim in it, it's seriously gross. But anyway,
you said that's from,
that.
You said that's from the water also being stagnant, I mean, not moving? Is that what you said?
Yeah, we don't get a lot of water movement, so.
You can't put pumps in the water to get the.
Aeration?
Can I have a budget line item for that?
No.
No, I'm sorry, I didn't care. You must have misunderstood me, friend. I didn't even say that.
That is actually something we talked about in the future as part of this kind of planning that we're doing, maybe in the short term, is doing some sort of, you know, sprinkler system or something like that to move that water, at least in the beach area. The problem is it's an unsupervised beach, and so you go putting things out there. We've talked about putting aerators, you know, those things you can sit on the bottom, but I know what'll happen is, you know, it's not supervised, it's hard to see because it's down over the hill. You know, somebody's just going to go down there and mess with it, and it's going to turn into a maintenance issue for us. So we haven't done it, and we're kind of hesitant to, you know, put anything like that. Plus, you're going to have, if you have any sort of pump system, you've got an intake that you got to worry about, you know, some kid getting some foot sucked into or something. If we were staffing the beach, it'd be a different story. We'd have that thing cleaned up, and we'd have, you know, splash pads and aerators going. But since we're not staffing it, I really hesitate to put something down there that, you know, we'll get messed with, possibly cause a problem. Also, piggybacking what Brian said with the change in Highway 61 and having the traffic moved over, and they're working on the eastern side lanes now. That access to the backside of Stars Cave, that trail access back there, is now completely closed because they're literally ripping out those lanes right now. So you cannot access the backside of Stars Cave. And that will affect a lot of people. We had a traffic counter down there for most of the year. It only caught about the first part of the spring, but we were averaging about 30 vehicles a day in that parking lot. And so, that was a lot of traffic going out there, but that isn't going to happen now. So you can still access the trails from the Nature Center side, but you just can't get it from there, from Highway 61. And I don't know how long that's going to be, but it's, you know, like I said, they're ripping out those lanes, so you're not going to be able to get across there for quite some time.
Well, they're doing a bridge there, too, so it's going to be probably next year.
Yeah, I suspect it's going to be next year before you're going to be able to access that. So all of the trail access on Stars Cave is going to be from the Nature Center side for the foreseeable future. Other than that, we have our regular board meeting is next week, and then we are getting invitations out now for our volunteer dinner. All of our volunteers and partners that have helped us out last year, that's what I just gave you guys today, is the invite for that. That's gonna be August 13th at Starscape. It's our annual volunteer recognition dinner. That's it for today.
Thanks, Chris. Des Moines County Recorder, Natalie Steffner.
I forgot everything I wanted to say.
Brian Carter threw you off, didn't he?
Because the bridge is up.
Right, the bridge is falling. Just like what Kevin said, Des Moines County Fair has kicked off, and I just encourage everybody to get out there. I know the youth works really hard on those projects and animals. I know it's gonna be really hot, but that's why I'd rather be here today than out there helping set up, but hopefully everybody can get out and do that. I just started working on the brochure to kind of, for the ordinance for the UTVs and that we can start handing out once we get that ordinance updated, so. Otherwise, just business as usual.
Thanks, Natalie. Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
Right now, just finishing up the final plans for National Night Out, as Kevin mentioned. There is free food. We had one of the local grocery stores donate free hot dogs and hot dog buns. It's not going to be a gourmet meal, but it is free food. Several prize donations from local merchants, including some AirPods, televisions. So the prizes are definitely worth coming down for. We'll have a proclamation for the board to read on next Tuesday's meeting for National Night Out. Other than that, we are surviving July. And it was nice to see a jury trial docket for August 13th that is less than 2 pages and less than 100 cases. I can't remember the last time we've actually seen that. So that was warmed our heart to see that it was going to be somewhat manageable. Of those 98 cases, I believe 75 plus are pre-COVID cases. That we will have to be working on getting disposed of by the end of January. The new date will be, I believe the 1 year date is January 30th, that's the Friday. But it was nice to see a list that's somewhat manageable. I think they were running 3 and 4 pages long. We're talking single space, folks. And they were running 3 or 4 pages long, so we've got it to just able to fit it onto 2. We're also advertising again for our vacant misdemeanor attorney position. We've actually got it posted on Friday, and I think we've already got 2 or 3 resumes. So better response than we've received in the past. I think we just timed it well with law school graduation, bar exams. So we're hoping that by early fall, we'll have someone in that position. Anaya is still with us. He'll be with us for a couple more weeks. Next week, he gets to do his own jury trial. So he's getting pretty nervous but excited. That first one you do on your own is always a tummy churner. But he's pretty excited to be doing that. And now he just needs to figure out what that trial's gonna actually be. Sometimes we don't know until Monday afternoon. Other than that, we're just status quo, getting ready for National Night Out and enjoying a couple weeks to actually prepare for jury trials.
Lisa, do you have any murder trials coming up, or you got all service in?
Pardon?
The murder trials?
The next one, we only have 2 current pending murder cases. Motion Reed's trial is set for September 28th. And then we just got Kevin Lee. That was the one from last January. He's been set for January, I believe it's the 11th of 2022. So hopefully those will be the only 2 we're gonna have for a bit. Now it's just run-of-the-mill drug cases, burglary cases. We do have several sex abuse cases that have been sitting there stagnant during COVID. We're hoping to move a few of those. Those are particularly difficult cases on a good day, but now that we've had so much lag time. I think our oldest waiver case is from June of 2019.
What does that mean, your oldest waiver case?
Of the people who originally waived speedy trial well before COVID, we have one, the oldest one, number one of the waivers is June of 2019. He was set to go in April of 2020, when we got completely shut down. The ironic thing was we had an officer for the Burlington Police Department who was set to deploy in the spring of 2020, and so we actually did evidence depositions to have his testimony ready to go whenever those cases would come up for trial. He actually was deployed and has returned, and those cases are still sitting there. So he gets to do it live and in person. I guess he'll know what he's going to testify to if we let him read his deposition. But it's just ironic to know that we have someone who deployed for a year, over a year, and he's back, and the same cases we were worried about not having his testimony for are just still sitting there, biding their time, collecting dust.
This gentleman from 2019, has he been incarcerated all this time?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't believe, of those cases, I don't believe we have any people who waived speedy trial pre-COVID that are incarcerated. I think the oldest one, other than Motion Reed, the murder case, I think Motion Reed and Devontae Davis, the case we just finished up last month, I think those are the only two who had been sitting there that were pre-COVID waivers. And other than that, I think we've either disposed of every case. One of the things that we found last summer when the date got moved from July to September, especially people who were sitting there on lower level felonies decided they were just not going to wait it out. They were actually, I just assumed go to prison, get my case done and discharge, because who knows when I'm going to see the inside of a courtroom. Which was probably a really smart thing on their part, because we only did a few weeks of jury trials till there was another moratorium on them. So they would have been sitting there until February. So right now, we don't, the only one we that I can think of right off the top of my head that's an actual waiver that's been sitting there pre-COVID is Motion Reed, and that's a murder case.
So I just want to make sure I understand this. Sex offenders are walking around waiting. There's no...
Many of those have bonded out, and so... Or some of them, we put them on pretrial release with supervision just because we didn't want them languishing in jail for at a time. We didn't know how long it would be. But I think most of this, sex offense cases that are waivers are all bonded out.
Are these children offenses or?
Both children and adults. They run the gamut.
Do we have any safeties in place at all to keep these?
If someone bonds out before they see a judge, there's really not a whole lot we can do. Generally, if they bond out after they see a judge, the judge will usually put in their initial appearance ruling. In the event they bond out, then we also will be have to report to pretrial release with supervision, the Department of Correctional Services. Some of them can bond out. No sooner do they hit the jail doors, they bond out. The bond schedule for drugs is actually much, much more severe than the bond schedule for sex abuse cases.
Wow. Thank you, Lisa. Angie Vaughn, safety.
Good morning. I don't have as much as everyone else, so just getting caught back up after being gone for a little while, working on the annual report. So this month we did new training. Next month we'll start back up and get going hot and heavy.
Thanks, Andy.
That coffee must have done you some good.
It did.
I ran onto her this morning at Casey's in Middletown. I said, good morning. I said, you got to have your coffee. You don't want to talk to him until I have your coffee.
So I'm supposed to shut it up.
I do this for everybody else.
It's not for you, yeah. For everybody else. Gotcha, AB.
Thanks, Angie. Janelle Nally-Longquist, Wayne County Treasurer.
Good morning. We're just keeping busy, gearing up for tax season. We'll start out soon with mobile home tax statements and then, of course, go into real estate tax statements later next month. But other than that, business as usual. And I do have an agenda item.
Thanks, Janelle. Rodney Buister, maintenance.
Good morning. Just treading water. Business as usual. Nothing new to add.
We love you, Rod.
Thank you, Rod.
We love you, man.
Now you're coming on here looking for help, Rod.
I'm going to do a couple of interviews this week.
Get you back up far, that'll be nice.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hang in there, Rat. Don't think I missed anybody. But do you gentlemen have any correspondence?
I do not.
I have none. Oh, I just got some this morning that I really hate to. It's from FEMA. Board of Supervisors, I commend you for the efforts that have been put forth in implementing the floodplain management measures for Des Moines County, Iowa, to participate in the National Flood Insurance Program, NFIP. As you implement these measures, I want to emphasize the following. A flood insurance study and flood insurance rate map have been completed for your community. The study and the map will become effective on October 21st, 2021. And by the map and study's effective date, the Department of Homeland Security's Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, regional offices is required to approve the legally enforceable floodplain management measures your community adopts in accordance with Title 44 Code of Federal Regulations, CFR Section 60.3, Paragraph D. As noted in FEMA's letter dated April 21st, 2021, no significant changes have been made to the flood hazard data on the preliminary and or revised preliminary copies of the flood insurance rate map for Des Moines County. Therefore, Des Moines County should use the preliminary and or revised preliminary copies of the flood insurance rate map as the basis for adopting the required floodplain management measures. Final printed copies of the FIRM for Des Moines County will be sent to you within the next few months. If you encounter difficulties in enacting the measures, I recommend you contact the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. You may contact Bill Capuccio, the National Flood Insurance Program State and Coordinator, and then it has contact information. The FEMA regional staff in Kansas City, Missouri is also available to provide technical assistance and guidance in the development of floodplain management measures. The adoption of compliant floodplain management measures will provide protection for Des Moines County and will ensure its participation in that National Flood Insurance Program. The regional office may be contacted by telephone. You may have already been contacted, the NFIP State Coordinator and or the FEMA regional office, and may be in the final adoption process or recently adopted the appropriate measures. However, in the event your community has not adopted the appropriate measures, this letter is FEMA's official notification that you only have until October 21st to adopt and or submit floodplain management ordinance that meets or exceeds the minimum NFIP requirements and request approval from the FEMA regional office by the effective date. Your community's adopted measures will be reviewed upon receipt, and the FEMA regional office will notify you when measures are approved. I appreciate your cooperation, blah, 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 blah. Additional information. I think I skipped the rest of it. Probably should have skipped it all. Anyway, the floodplain management committee is meeting in about 3 weeks. I'm sure this will be on the agenda.
And I think Jared sent all of us a copy of the floodplain ordinance with some suggested updates and everything, so.
Yeah.
We'll have to pay attention to it.
Oh,
Jared's on the line.
Jared? Hi, Jared.
Hey, I just wanted to touch base on that, the note about the floodplain you mentioned there. And I will know that that meeting with the advisory board next month, we've reviewed a copy of the revised the model ordinance, floodplain ordinance.
Thank you, Jared. You were done, I think.
I think that's how all public comment should be.
Thank you, sir. What did he say?
To proceed to discussion and vote, we need to open a public hearing.
So moved.
A road petition to upgrade a road in the eastern half of Section 20 in Yellow Spring Township.
Second.
Terry.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Shane McCambell?
Yes.
Tom Croker?
Yes. We have a road petition presented to the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors on the 6th day of July, 2021. We, the undersigned owners of 50% of the lands adjacent to, were abutting upon the following described road. A roadway in the east half of section 20, T-72N, R-2W of the 5th PM, Des Moines County, Iowa, known as 235th Street, beginning at 92nd Avenue and running westerly for about 750 feet. Hereby petition the Board Supervisor for the grading and granular surfacing of the above described roadway in accordance with the B-level upgrade policy resolution approved by the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors on November 4th, 2014. Signed K. Wirt, July 3rd, 2021. Address 23675 90th Avenue, Minneapolis, Iowa. Public comment regarding this?
I'll run with it to start with.
Okay.
And welcome any public comment. I don't think we have anybody here to speak to this other than this is Fred and Kathy. In front of us, I want to mention K. Wirt owns the ground. That would be mother or mother-in-law, depending on how you look at it. They are purchasing roughly 3.5 acres, 4 acres, something like that. It's down 750 foot of this dirt road. The dirt road is longer than that. It's maybe a quarter mile roughly. So they approached me, it's probably been a couple months ago, maybe even longer. We started with an evening discussion. I went out to their places to talk it through. This policy that we're following is a resolution that's was used for this or created for this exact process because we really didn't have anything very good in place. And so in 2014, the board approved it. There's been a lot of discussion to this point. I kind of like to use this moment to bring everybody, you guys, up to speed on this overall process. And like I said, at any point, somebody comes in and wants to speak to it. I have had no comment about this. We did send letters out, as I told you guys we would. There's one adjacent landowner to this property. And I do know that they spoke with, it's an elderly woman, and I know that they spoke with her daughter. The family, which is pretty common for making sure that people understand what's going on. And as I understand it, they had no issue with it. I never had a call that said they had an issue with it. She did receive a letter, so you know. So what this would do is basically upgrade 750 foot to what the parcel is where they would build their house to a full A-level road. I don't have an issue with this. I mean, that's why we put the policy in place. I have no different than anything else when you do it the first time. I've learned a few things, and I think I'd like to redo the policy in a couple different places after eventually maybe this winter or something and put it back in front of the board and just clarify a few things that I don't think came to light until we started to go through this to make sure that everything's clean. We have already made some headway on this, so we're not really starting at square one. So I was going to take a minute during public hearing. You guys we've had some work sessions on this, but I want to just skim through the policy real quick so you can see where I see us at, because I think we're accelerated because of being such a small project. If it doesn't mind the board, would you be open to that? I think it's necessary. We need to move this along either way. I have copies of the policy. Would you guys like that, or do you still have it?
I've got a copy of it.
I all have a copy with me.
Well, I'm likely to remember.
Hey.
Look at him run.
Every time Brian stands up with a piece of paper in his hand,
lots of people just step out of
the room. I'll tell you what, it's embarrassing. That's
what all of you do. Jennifer might be able to do. You guys like a copy. The only reason Janelle's still here,
she's got a agenda. That's just what I said. You're stuck. That's see, Kevin was blind. He just went and got more coffee.
Anybody
else? Hey, wake up Janelle when we get to her agenda.
Okay. I've got one extra policy. Anybody really excited?
Yeah, that way I can read it while you talk.
You have a dirt road you want to upgrade, so
yes,
see how much money you have to put into it.
How many of you use that?
Well, I don't know if you want to upgrade it. You like to complain about it.
You should see it.
I have seen it.
Kids, behave yourselves.
All right, so real quick, we're just going to start off. Read the petition part of it. Obviously, we have the petition. You guys formally received that. And again, you're aware, but we've had work sessions on this, so I don't think anything's new here. We've gone through the process. We're sitting here in the public hearing, which is kind of there in two and three about having the public hearing after you get the notices and such. And then it says that, you know, if you guys approve the petition, you'll direct us to create a cost estimate. To be honest with you, cost estimates tend to get discussed long before this because people want to know what they'd be into it for financially before they decide if it's worth their time. And so we have already made headway on that. The current cost estimate, which is, again, estimates are the key word, but the current estimate for the project is just a shade under $32,000. We'll go through it, but real quick, but the petitioner's amount as part of that per the policy would be just a shade under $6,000 estimated wise. So of the 32,000, 6,000 would be their responsibility. And that is actually one of the areas that in the long term, I'm not going to bog this down, but in the long term, I think we'll look at. I think in the big picture, I think some of the rocking rates were too low in the policy, so I think we need to bump those up for the cost share side of it. But for now, this is the policy, and I have no issue. And if you're going to work through this, it's a great one to work through because it is a short segment. We're not talking about a mile of road here. We're talking very, very short segments. So,
who came up with the cost share figures there?
We created the policy. We went through some other counties' policies and kind of molded them into how we wanted to do business here. It's not so much the cost share as that. I mean, it is something the board approved was the percentages. So, in the policy, which we can go through, but I'll just hit it real quick. But just in general, if you don't have any bridges are a different animal. So small culverts are 50% cost share between county and petitioner. Grading is 50% cost share between petitioner and county. The rocking rate is actually what I came to realize that it was low on. I don't think there's anybody to blame but me, but it states in the policy that the rock will be put down at 1,800 tons per mile. Which is a great rocking rate, but it isn't what you really need for a full brand new gravel road. So that's where we would, going forward, would adjust. But either way, so if you figure 900 tons per mile, which is half, because that's also, it's 50% share between that, that's figured into that. So there's 50% of the rock, 50% of the dirt. Now I would mention in other locations on dirt roads, there's 100% of the right of way. And that's typically the holdup on one of these. Is typically the challenge is to get the adjacent landowner, because most of this is somebody that owns half the road or alongside half the road.
I was going to tell you, I'm surprised that we don't get more people coming down for this at this cost.
The biggest battle is the right of way. These folks are very fortunate. After some additional research, this is already a 66 foot right of way road. Back in, I want to say, the early 50s, some other landowners that owned it back in those days came along and requested the board to grant extra right-of-way width for possible upgrades. Now, obviously, this is still being treated as a dirt road. If you went out there, you would not know it was 66 foot, but it is a 66 foot road. So that is the big hang-up on most of these, Shane, is the right-of-way. But in this, because that is 100% cost, so right-of-way is expensive. When you go buy in farm ground in Des Moines County, it's not cheap. And the county will not condemn on behalf of a project like this. So basically it would be up to them in a different situation to go more or less sweet talk those other landowners to being willing to either sell or give, which is where we thought we were at the very beginning of this. But in this case, it is not. It is a 66-foot wide road. So the right-of-way is there. So that really is the first huge and typically only hiccup in this, is that we will not do this without 66-foot right-of-way. And most dirt roads are not. This is. It's a rarity. So I do want to mention that as I go through the policy. The first thing I would mention, it mentions that you have to give the county time to work it into the 5-year program. However, it does say small projects can be accomplished in shorter time frames at the engineer's discretion. I would note this is the exact kind of situation that line is intended for. This is not a high dollar project. I'm not opposed to this project, and nor is the county in general. And we can fit this into a typical budget. So we are prepared to move ahead. It is not of the cost that it needs to be in the 5-year program, and it doesn't meet any extraordinary cost threshold issues. So as far as the 5-year plan, that is not a holdup timing-wise, as far as I'm concerned. Right-of-way is the next one down. I'm going to skip that because I've sat there and told you that there's already 66-foot of right-of-way. So at the bottom of that page, that hurdle, which Shane, that would be the, that is the big hurdle in most other situations. A lot of these have come up in the past. Sometimes it comes up for a house. Well, a lot of those people on dirt roads, they hunt it or they farm it, and they're not looking for somebody to live down there and be in an area where it's already a mile of dirt road and it's, they don't look for the extra. So they're not favorable, they're not willing to discuss giving ground because they're not interested in it. So that is the big hurdle that is not an issue here. On to the next page. So there is no money to be deposited for right away, obviously, because there's no need for it. And then you get into the geometrics. We are about 80% done with a design for this particular project, mostly because you've got to do a cost estimate. You need to have some sort of a layout. And since we already had a work session, we put a little extra work into this. So we're actually not very far away from a biddable project as we sit here. So we've gone through, there is no significant drainage here. So I mentioned bridges and culverts. If you look down through here, for instance, if this was on a dirt road somewhere where there was a pretty good sized bridge, that's not a cost that the county will bear. That's a cost that the landowner, the petitioners would have to bear if they wanted to upgrade that road. But that's not the case here. In fact, I'd have to say, I don't believe there's any crossroad culverts that have to be replaced as part of this project. So culverts and drainage are not an issue as far as cost, other than just the grading part of it. So it gets right down to it. It basically says that if you bid it, they'll pay these 50% and they have to deposit some money before the project can proceed. If they want to build it themselves, then the county will not pay for 50% of it. The only reason that is in there is because we have a few larger farm operations in the county that have their own equipment, and that actually was proposed once upon a time, is that they would come in, and they were talking about putting a hog building out in the middle of nowhere at one time. And it was in the middle of a dirt road, and they wanted to move in with their own equipment and do the work to save themselves money. Problem for them was they couldn't get the right way because people on the other side didn't like them. I mean, to be honest with you. So that's typically how that goes.
I think I remember that.
But there have been some requests. In this case, we will bid this. And so we will have that 50% of that cost in there. Let's see here, drain structures, that's on down there, number 3, I've already hit on that. Surfacing, they pay for 900 ton per mile rate. Well, when you're only talking 750 feet, you're only talking 128 tons or something like that. So we've already surveyed, they've already given us permission, so we've already done the whole site survey. We couldn't have done the design without it. So I guess where I'm going with that is that ultimately from what I see, I'm to a point that once the board closes public hearing, if they approve this petition, I guess at this point I would recommend that be the case. I'm to a point where we can fine tune our estimate, but I believe that our cost estimate will be pretty much the exact same. And really the only hurdle I see is that they're gonna need to deposit their estimated 50% prior to us being able to bid or start the project, which they're aware of. As I mentioned earlier, it's about a $32,000 project, and their cost share estimate is just under $6,000 of that. So they are aware of that and know that that'll be a responsibility.
Can I ask a question? Okay, you talk about $32,000, but and they're gonna pay 50%, but their cost share is $6,000.
No, their 50% is their 50% is the specific areas in it. It's not 50% of the total project. It's the specific quantities that fill in that. So, for instance, there's some seeding and mulching to be done. The policy did not call that out. Didn't require that to be 50%.
So they're paying $6,000.
And we are putting some our approach on gravel roads when we do them new is different than it was back then. So we actually, that is one where I plan to eventually, we'll update the policy and bring it up to more what we're doing now. But so there's that it's not 50% of the overall project, it's 50% of some specific areas. That's why it's not an exact outcome. So.
My head, I was thinking, okay, maybe I haven't had enough coffee.
Nope. It's not, that's the difference. It's not just everything that's there is 50%. And the reason for that is there's, when you look at these, there's certainly locations where the county might do some other stuff that the landowner shouldn't be responsible for in a project. Whether it be driveways, whether it be whatever, it's not always the petitioner's responsibility that they should be paying for half of something that could come up in a project that the county may say, this is our opportunity to do an improvement here since we're gonna be here. So. There are some potentials. So rather than making it 50% and making it in a resolution where there was no conversation and no flexibility, that's why it's the way it is. So for instance, we are building this a little bit better than perhaps we did 6 or 7 years ago, but it's not rigid, so there isn't a problem with that. So anyway, I know that's a long drawn out, but I want to hit it thoroughly. It is the first time that we've done this. I know the board's aware of it. I've had no communication, I guess, with anybody. I think the only communication I remember is when we were out there doing some survey, one of the landowners said, well, don't do the rest of the dirt road, leave it dirt. And we said, well, we're not gonna do the rest of the dirt road, so that's not a problem. So people tend to like the dirt road because when it's wet, it keeps people from driving by their frontage. So it's like their own personal speed bump to some extent. And if Brad and Kathy have anything at all to add, they're more than welcome to. Told them that was certainly their option if they wanted to speak during the public hearing, so I'll quit talking for now.
Thank you. One thing I'd say, I guess we bought this 4 acres that lays on this road, you know, from a family member who lives just across the field. And we have 3 or 4 other family members all live within about a quarter mile of this. We're kind of looking forward to this being our future home, so we just appreciate your approval of this project.
Terry, did you receive any written or emailed comments regarding this?
I have not.
Any other public comment? We need to close the public hearing.
Move to close the public hearing.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom
Yes.
Can I also move to approve the
road petition?
The road petition. Got to get the last on here. The east half of Section 20 in Yellow Springs Township, the grading granular surfacing upgrade.
Second.
Terry.
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes.
Thank you. This will be a publicly bid item, so we will work towards some documents once we come up with the final estimate. I need to get with Janelle a little bit because of the deposit side of it. So we'll figure that out, and I'll keep communicating with them. But we will probably try to have a bid out there within the next, shoot, we might even mail a bid out within the next week or two, to be honest with you. So I could see it taking a bid on this within the next 4 to 5 weeks. It's not a big project, so it doesn't need a lot of time. So just to give you guys a little bit of insight, and then get things moving, so.
You guys have a wonderful life in your home.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We hope to.
So is that going to get a count visit you guys?
Sure.
Be
careful.
He's already going. Trust me, my own family doesn't think of this.
Do you like barbecue? He barbecues all
the time.
All right. We have this is what you know we're waiting for.
Yes.
We have an assignment of 16 tax sale certificates for the city of Burlington. Hopefully, we don't have to go through all these. It's my understanding that these are partial lots or lots that can sold to adjacent homeowner, or lots that can be put together for.
Yeah. The city's intent is to get them back on the tax rolls. As you can see, these certificates go back 10 to 15 years. They've been sitting there all these years, and most of these charges are city special assessments on there, too, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What are your wishes, gentlemen?
Move to approve.
Sorry.
Barry.
Shane Campbell.
Yep.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. We will sign these after the meeting.
Yes, there's a lot, and I understand.
We have payroll reimbursement claims in the amount of $149.80.
Move to approve.
Second.
Carrey?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. Personnel actions. Personnel action for the recorder's office. Renee Wellborn, a clerk 2, July 27, 2021, 7.5 hours, unpaid.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yep.
Tom Broker.
Yes. Personnel action for secondary roads. Larry Hogan-Miller Jr., maintenance worker, a new hire, effective July 26th, rate of $21.27 an hour.
Move to approve.
Second.
Carrie?
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. We have the jail statistics for June 2021. And we have the Southeast Iowa Regional Riverboat Commission report from June 2021. These reports will be on file in the auditor's office and available for public review.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes, please.
Tom Broker?
Yes. Any other business?
I have none.
I just wanted to announce the Horse Early Childhood Center. Thursday, August 26th at 9 a.m. at 711 South Lee Brick, the old Core School building. They're going to be having a open house. trails where people can walk through for the early childhood center that they have set up there. It's supposed to be really, really great. We're going to do some great things and raising up winners. You know, our next town broker is sitting right in there. I can feel it.
He's probably sitting in the jail waiting.
No, that's the shame of the game. But anyways, there are a lot of things happening in the community and that are making us better. This is one of them. So I just want to bring that up. That's all I know.
Thank you. Future agenda items. Committee reports.
I have nothing to report.
Went to a Southeast Iowa Regional Planning meeting the other day, and listened to presentations. What's going on there about, you know, they're building a new bus barn for, and then swaps the land with the city of Burlington. That's about it.
I didn't have any committees. Public input. If anybody from the public would like to address the board, you may email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com. That's board@dmcounty.com. You may call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. We'll give you a couple minutes to initiate that email or that call. While we're waiting, anybody in the room have any comments?
Shane, I want to ask you. You said that early childhood center is opening?
It's Thursday, August 26th at 9 a.m.
August the 26th?
Yep, 711 South Leverick Street. And the pre-crowd, so.
Lisa? That night out, is that statewide or is that LaCour?
National Night Out actually is a national program. Basically what you have to do as a local municipality is register with them in order to be able to use their logos, and the Burlington Police Department, City of Burlington, did that quite some time ago. I think the last time Burlington did anything for National Night Out was 2010. But it's been around since the mid-80s. It started, I believe, in Philadelphia.
I thought we had a night out in like 14 or something. Has it been that long?
Official since 2010.
What happens when you're old, you know, it just flies by.
You ain't lying, kid.
Nothing's better than a hot dog outside.
I was going to say, I remember going
out. Yeah,
a free hot dog outside.
Yeah, it's hot dogs. Sterzing's donated, I think, 250 small bags of chips. Yeah. A couple of the local soda vendors have contributed water and soda.
It's on the riverfront, right?
It's right down on the riverfront between, in the big parking lot between the port and the auditorium.
Is there a dump tank?
I was just curious. You know what, Natalie?
We talked about it.
God bless you, honey.
We talked about it, but since this is kind of the inaugural year of the reboot, I think a lot of it was kind of keep things on a lower scale, see what works, see what doesn't. I know that, I believe it's the National Guard, I think, is bringing in a bounce house for kids.
A big bounce house.
The fire department is doing their little water thing that they do. Keep everybody, cooling station. I know Danville is bringing one of their engines. Meepo is bringing one of their engines.
It's going
down. And of course, we've kind of kept everything where there will only be one way in, so we keep the north entrance to that parking lot closed off so there's no traffic in the event there is an emergency and any of these vehicles need to get out. They're not gonna be blocked by regular traffic. Gina Harden has her CERT team kind of keeping things under control on Front Street, so people can be walking from wherever they park.
God bless them too. They always show up in full force.
It should be a really good time. It's a very DJ, so Tom, I'm expecting you to come do the electric slide.
As we know, he does so well.
I had my own Ferris wheel once. Really? We built a Ferris wheel. I had an industrial crane. Anyway,
it was a Ferris wheel, hold four people, and as the crane went through the parade, it'd go like that. Still the insurance man saw it. Apparently it was lacking any sort of safety on it. And he, in a lot fewer words, explained that if we ever hope to be insured, that was
just a surprise. I didn't think so.
You gonna have the armored vehicle down there?
We are. We're gonna have the MRAP. We'll have the boat. We'll have our canine unit, our reserve unit. We have a lot of folks out there. So.
Well, I think you ought to put Shane and Tom on top of that and have a siren leading in there.
Pass out tomatoes. I don't think so, friend. I've already played that game.
The MRAP is another. It's just the kids just love it to be able to see it up close, and it's a neat deal for them. It was for us too when we first got it.
The fire department can see with their hose if they can not hear. Sorry.
No, you're not.
See, that's the stronger.
That would help Tom with his electric slide.
I don't think the electric slide's probably a possibility.
They tell you what to do. It's not like
I'm familiar with that.
They're telling you what to do.
And I know the bike patrol for the police department is going to have a little bike rodeo, which I learned is like a little skills thing. I'd never heard the term bike rodeo, so I had to have somebody define exactly what it was. So they'll have a little skills course with little kids, or several bicycles that have been donated to give away. And the Kiwanis donated a pretty decent sum of money. So we have, I think we're expecting anywhere between 50 and 70 bike helmets that will be handed out.
Did anybody drop off any TVs?
We did get one TV donation.
You only got one TV donation?
Somebody lied to me.
Well, all right, I'll forget it.
one of the local merchants. So if you know somebody who wants to give us more TVs to give away,
his mind's working. He's
more than happy to take them.
He's making
like
notes
out
right
of bitches.
Now.
I know, that's what I was thinking. I was going to say, I can
supply
you. In my basement.
Yeah, I got a TV I can donate.
You want to donate something too?
I mean, I don't know if the TV works.
we're starting to drift further.
I thought saying this called spring cleanup. That's what that's called.
There's no further public input. With an aye, we're adjourned.
Aye.
We're adjourned. Thank you all.